All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
I'm not going to lie, you're slacking. You're slacking on starting that business you've been holding off on. It's just living in your head. And if you don't act now, that idea is going to leave, or maybe someone's going to take that idea. And there's a tool that I personally use, and that is Shopify. You don't need to be a web designer. You can just start moving, zooming in, adding the text you need, adding pictures you need. And Shopify has so many templates you can use from. Get it out of your head and onto a website with Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sell. They make it easy to manage growing your business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on all the important stuff like growing your business. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sonoro to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/sonoro.
Your data is like gold to hackers, and they'll sell it to the highest bidder. Are you protected? McAfee helps shield you, blocking suspicious texts, malicious emails, and fraudulent websites. McAfee Secure VPN lets you browse safely, and its AI-powered tech scam detector spots threats instantly. You'll also get up to $2 million of award-winning antivirus and identity theft protection, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
You need to keep showing up and telling the people like that you built it. It's not just, it's one thing to build it and they will come, but like build it and like promote it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like Starbucks is not afraid to sell us the same cup of coffee every single day. Target is not afraid to email you and tell you that there's 25% off in the home section. Like
when they're selling the same shit.
We can build it, but we have to show up and like preach our shit and sell our shit and let the people know that our shop is open.
Thanks to Sana Skin Studio for supporting the No podcast. Sana is a skin studio that is shifting the relationship with your skin and your products through goal-driven facials, real guidance, and clean skincare. Stay tuned for our promo code so you can receive $25 off of your first facial at Sana Skin Studio.
Welcome to the No Podcast with me, Nikki Spo.
Okay, so Jamie's back for more. Can you believe it?
Can like, you believe it?
I can believe it. Like,
I mean, I'm here, so.
I want you to be here. Like, so obviously I can believe it. But today we are talking about leaning into your career, discovering your purpose, and getting out of survival mode and into service mode. So let's do this. What do you have to say about that? What do you have to say about, okay, we're going to talk about like how you got into this place of like being out of survival mode. Mm-hmm. And going into service mode and how that has like been a game changer for you in your personal life, but also in your career development.
Yeah. So I actually didn't realize that I had been living my life in survival mode until like beginning of this year.
2024.
Yes.
Shut up.
Yes.
Really?
Or like maybe end of last year. I didn't know that it was a thing. Like I didn't realize, like I didn't have the words for it. I didn't have the epiphany. You know what I mean? I'd just been surviving. Mm-hmm. My whole life. And again, like when I say survival mode, that doesn't necessarily mean like I can't put food on the table to survive. It's like emotional survival mode, financial survival mode, mental survival mode,
right.
Like physical safety survival mode with like in relationships or, you know, with people, like so many different ways.
Not just like surviving like an earthquake, God forbid.
Right.
Like,
or like, it's like operating from this energy of survival mode is like so.
Like just trying to get by. Like
just trying to get by. Just trying to make it out of like this like, you know, yeah.
Race. Like this weird race that we put on
this,
ourselves.
Like, it's also like a scarcity. Trying to get out of scarcity. Yeah. Not only financially, but like mentally and emotionally. And like in all the ways, like trying to get out of. Life is hard. Finances are hard. Relationships are hard. Like trying to get out of this place to like thrive. Like what even is thrive? You know what I mean?
Even what is
when,
it?
What even is it? Because like even when I've shared this with you on your podcast before, I believe, like in the first year two and three of my business, I made six figures.
Which is bananas.
Which is bananas. But I still was feeling like I couldn't breathe financially. Like I still was operating from a place of survival mode. You know what I mean? So it's like, even when I've manifested the things and I've healed so much, like I still had this underlying energy of I struggle. I am trying to survive. And I wasn't aware of it is what I'm trying to say. Like I'd been doing all this healing, but I didn't realize that like survival mode was my like foundation of where I operated from.
Where do you think you got that from? Do you think it was like something that was taught to you? Like, do you think it's something you observed?
Yeah. Financially, at least, like, again, like I wasn't poor growing up, but I did see my family struggle. I wasn't.
Or like their attitude about money.
Their attitude about money was scarcity. Like my parents, you know, claimed bankruptcy like twice in my life. Many times, like I would go with my friends to competitions with them and their parents because my parents
dance team competitions,
gymnastics, dance. My parents couldn't afford to go, like you know. But I got to go to dance and gymnastics competitions, so I wasn't like broke poor, but like it was the mindset and the energy around things where like, oh, other people have it better than us, we have to struggle, right? So like financially, yes, I had seen my parents be in survival mode. So then like I adopted that. But when it comes to like mentally and emotionally, I just think that like growing up, I say this all the time. I feel like I lived life alone mentally and emotionally a lot because my parents were not the type, well, didn't have the awareness or the capacity to like nurture me emotionally.
Yeah.
Sure, they put food on the table. They make sure I had a roof over my head. My mom washed my clothes. She made me dinner. My dad paid the bills. Barely. Like they nurtured me in the ways that they could. They kept me alive, but like emotionally nurtured me, mentally nurtured me. Like no one ever had like deep conversations with me or asked me like, how do you feel about this?
Yeah.
Like, what are you feeling? Let's process it. Let's talk about it. Let me teach you a lesson here. I never had any of that. So I feel like I internalized so much that when I grew up and life came, I'm always operating from this place of like need to figure out everything on my own because there's no one I can go to that's safe enough to help me with things, to help me process things, to help me with my feelings. Like that doesn't exist anywhere. So yeah, survival mode mentally and emotionally because I had just been doing it that way my whole life.
Yeah. And I think that like our parents don't even know that they're doing it. And it's like, You don't know what you don't know until you know it type thing. And like on the parenting note and I'll give you like a really quick example of something that I found myself doing with my kids is like, I once said to my son, because like there was a period of time where my kids thought that like just new toys showed up on the Amazon truck. Right. And they're like, just call Amazon. I'm like, okay, you guys are privileged AF, like slow the down. Right. And so then I'm like, I started teaching them like what things cost. Right. Like, and I've done a whole episode and we'll link it in the show notes about like why I give my kids an allowance. And it's like to teach them the value of a dollar when my kids, for example, have so much more than I ever had when I was their age. Right. But I think I said to my kids a couple of times, I'm like, no, that toy is too expensive. Right. Because I'm like, in my world, I'm like, you do not need a $90 toy, like at this age, like,
you have 100 toys,
right? You have 100 toys. And like, maybe that gets saved. It's not just like the thing that I buy like on a whim. Like maybe that's the thing that you look forward to like on your birthday or around the holidays or something like that, you know? And I remember my son going to say, can I have, oh, never mind, mommy. And I was like, what were you going to ask me? And he's like, no, I don't want to ask you. And I was like, what is it? And he's like, no, I was just going to ask for the toy. But like, you know, I'll ask somebody else because maybe it's too expensive. And I was like, oh, I was like, all right, unpack that, Nikki. Like, I want my kids to have an understanding of the value of a dollar, but like a whole understanding of like why we buy something, why you want something, like what does it bring up in you? You know what I mean? And so like, I have that awareness now, but like the messaging when I was growing up was like, we can't afford that.
Yeah.
Like, or no, it's too expensive. Right. With no other like explanation. And there was nobody ever talking to me personally about like, well, why is it that you want that? Why do you want the Abercrombie and Fitch shirt that costs X dollars versus like the same exact shirt that doesn't say Abercrombie and Fitch?
Like at Walmart.
At Walmart, right. So I'm here thinking like, I didn't have anybody telling me like why things were too expensive, what the reason was, whether it was like, this is like what life is about, or like the lessons of like value, mm-hmm. right? Or the lessons of like, why do you want the things you want? You know? So I grew up just thinking like, okay, well, wanting expensive things is bad mm-hmm. when it's not bad. Right. And so that all of that, the reason why I ask you like about your relationship mm-hmm. with this is because it's like all of these things add up to like how we perceive money, life, mm-hmm. luxuries, hardships, resilience, mm-hmm. all of these things have stem from a place where we observed these things as young people and whether or not we've actually had an opportunity to unpack it as adults so that we can be in a better position to have a job that we like, have relationships that we like, build like a portfolio in banking that we're proud of and that makes us feel good and empowered, you know, like all yeah. of these things are related.
And yeah, it's interesting because like, then you have those experiences when you're younger, like I had my experiences and then like I go into relationships and then I'm wondering why I keep attracting these men who like can't emotionally support me. And then I'm in partnership, but I still feel alone emotionally and I'm surviving alone emotionally. I'm going through a breakup or hurt or feeling and I can't talk to you about it. So I'm having to process it on my own, still in survival mode. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And it just like keeps going and going and going and going and going. And so like, even though I had been healing so much, up until this year, last year.
Well, it's never ending, right?
Of course. But like I'm so aware of reprogramming my limiting beliefs around money and around relationships and around emotion and around mindset. Like I know how to do this. I know how to shift my mindset. But what I wasn't aware of was that I had an underlying energy and belief that I operate in survival mode. You know what I mean? Like it was so sneaky.
That sneaky.
Even though I had been doing all this work and, you know, manifesting things along the way and healing along the way and raising and my
frequency. Creating a new reality for yourself.
Along the way and creating a new life and a reality, I still felt like I was in survival mode because that sneaky thing was still existing in me.
Yeah.
And it's taking a long time to unravel and deprogram, if that's a word. And like, even when I had the realization that I was operating out of survival mode, it doesn't just mean that I get to go into thrive mode.
That's
it's
right.
Like, okay, I had the realization. How do I shift out of this place? Especially when I don't know what it looks like or feels like to thrive. I don't know what it feels like for my nervous system to be relaxed. I don't know what it feels like to not worry about money, even though I've made six figures. I don't know what it looks like to allow someone to hold space for my emotions. I don't know what it looks like to have a mindset where I feel safe and relaxed and peaceful in it, even though I've reprogrammed my mind for years upon years, because survival mode exists in all these places.
Yeah, you know, and I have like a small example of that, like in dating, right? Mm-hmm. It's like since like being divorced and starting to date, I've had people that I know I definitely don't feel safe with, right? And then I have people that I'm like, oh, I feel like this man is holding me emotionally. And it is so foreign to me.
Foreign.
That I'm like, self-sabotage. Let's go. Now press the button to self-sabotage because this is not familiar. This is now uncomfortable. Oh my gosh, it feels uncomfortable
launch
to be held and
dynamite.
Be treated well. I'm like, oh my, right. Launch the dynamite.
Blow this shit up because I don't.
And I've had to really work on that because I'm like, I'm okay. Like I say I want XYZ in a partner, right? But like I have to reprogram my brain to be able to like hold space for that reality and to be able to respond to it well. Like, mm-hmm. and those are not easy things. And so you can think about it in terms of like a relationship or a career. You know, one thing that I've learned over time is that the antidote to survival mode is service. And that's ultimately like what we're here to talk about, because like for us, I think each of us, like I learned that in recovery, right? That being of service to another person who is sick and suffering actually helped my own recovery process. Mm-hmm. And so like going through like all the things that I went through, whether it was, you know, that year, the 2022, which was so hard for me with my mom passing away and me being pregnant and my son having cancer and going through my divorce, like all of these things at once, like the antidote to my surviving that was being of service. So how have you been able to do that, like in terms of your career and like your coaching and like all of the hundreds of thousands of women that you help?
Yeah, I have so much to say about this because this has been what my entire year has really been about so far, 2024. I think that when I first got into coaching, it was from a genuine place of service, wanting to help people, because I had been helping myself for so long.
Yeah.
I had gone on my own healing journey and had healed myself of a lot of things and manifested a lot of things. I was like, I want to help people do this. This is so f-ing cool. And at the beginning of the pandemic, where I had nothing to do but like sit with myself, I learned how to love myself.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah,
that's nice.
And I, once I
feels good.
Got on the other, I mean, that's a never ending journey as well. But like, I put myself through like a little self-love boot camp. And when my self-love boot camp was over, where I was like, holy shit, I just learned what it means to love myself. This is so cool. I want to teach people this. And I started coaching, right? Even though it was the scariest thing ever because I'd never done it before. It was really like with an intention of service. And that was cute for a while until like, then my survival mode started to kick in.
Sneaking back in. Sneaking back in.
And it was like, but you have to pay bills. And dance no longer exists anymore because we're in the middle of a pandemic. So this is your means of money. You need to make 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 money. And it was like, okay, the let me help people went somewhere in a closet. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know where it went.
But like that honesty that you would even say that out loud, like that's legit right there.
Well, the thing that I'm learning, currently learning about survival mode is that survival mode means caring about me. I only have the capacity to care about me.
Survival mode means only caring about me.
Or like if wow. you have, or if you have kids, right? Like,
yeah.
I need to figure out how to keep my kids alive, right?
Right.
Obviously. But like, you don't have the capacity to like care about people. That's been my experience. Like, and I do care about people, right?
Right.
But my survival mode trumps that. Overpowers Whoa. That because Whoa. I have to figure out how to care about me. I have to figure out how to heal myself from this heartache or this
Wow.
mindset that feels daunting or pay my bills is so fucking loud that it's like, I want to care about you, but I got to pay my fucking bills.
Well, it's hard because like, then there's also like, you got to fill your own cup before you fill the cup of other people. Right. So it's like, there is a delicate balance. Like you do have to care about, like take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. You do. Right. So like, cause that's like big talk right now too, is like, mm-hmm. especially in like the motherhood world is like, you got to fill your own cup before you take care mm-hmm. of anybody else. Mm-hmm. You got to put your mask on before you put the mask on the other people on the airplane. Like we get it.
Yeah.
But I do firmly believe that like getting out, like the way through into like the way through survival into a space of thriving mm-hmm. is through service.
1000%. And, you know, I've been in business now for 4 years since the pandemic. We're in 2024.
Samesies.
Yes. And in that time, I've been hiring business coaches, life coaches, money coaches, all the coaches, because I want my business to thrive and I want to make money because I'm in survival mode and I need to pay bills, right? You know, I'm giving yeah. you the play-by-play
right,
here.
Right.
And so I've hired so many business coaches and joined so many programs and courses, and every single one has said, the way you make money in your business is by acting from a place of service. It's about serving your people. How can you help your people? And every single time I've heard that, I've been like, okay. And I try to do that for like a little while. And I'm like, need to pay bills. This thought, this survival mode comes in like a fucking tornado or like a tsunami going, that's great. But how are you going to pay your bills? And it just like, as much as I keep wanting to like, it was like a never ending cycle, like service about the people, bills. You need to survive. Also, you're struggling emotionally. You need to heal. You need to take time to rest. Also, your mindset is
f***ed. Oh my gosh, you need to reprogram your mindset. Listening to this. It's overwhelming.
And this is the energy from which I operate from on a daily. My nervous system is like, We're done here. No wonder I'm constantly like, I'm exhausted, can't do anything because my nervous system is like
swimming
this rat race. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And so then it would be like, okay, back to survival mode, right? And then it's like, this isn't working. Hire another coach. That coach says you need to operate from service. And I'm like, oh yeah, service, the people. What do you guys need from me? Oh no, I need to pay my bills. And it's like,
the cycle is just like never ending.
And it's like, I've made the six figures from push and force and survival mode and then still feel broke as fuck after making six figures. It's not enough because survival mode is running this engine, is running this ship, right?
Wow.
So when I had the realization, maybe end of last year, the
after hearing it like over and over and over and over again, that service is the antidote to survival.
Still not really like
it's not hitting. It's not landing.
Survival mode is so wrong, right? Like, so when I had the realization of I'm in survival mode. Oh, that's where I've been operating from. Oh, that's what's happening. Oh, that's why I still feel broke even after making six figures. Oh. It's like, okay, how do I move? How do I even shift out of this into something new? It's like I kept shifting out and dipping back in and shifting out because it's such a normal for me.
Right,
I've been operating
sure.
here so long.
Yeah.
But as I continue to do the work to shift out and shift out and shift out, even though I slowly go back in, I'm able to hear the message of service. I can hear it. I can hear it now.
Yeah.
You know, I can't necessarily fully like embody it and live from there, but I'm hearing it. And because I'm hearing it, it's landing a little more and I'm shifting out of survival mode a little more and a little more into service every time. And again, like I'm not killing it, right? Like I keep dabbling in and out because I continue to choose to do so, but I'm doing this and it's working and I'm doing it and I'm narrowing into service more and more and more and more and more. And like the money is just coming so much easier. And
isn't that amazing?
I'm starting to feel less like I'm broke and like I'm trying to like tread water and like I can breathe a little bit more. And my nervous system, although still fucked, is starting to relax a little bit more.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break so I can thank our sponsor, Sauna Skin Studio, with their OG location in Wynwood and their additional locations in Fort Lauderdale and Coconut Grove. Okay, so the best way I can describe Sauna is that it feels like coming home. Unlike traditional facials, Sauna's facials are rooted in education, and I love this so much. Every experience I have had at Sauna has been a chance for me to learn more about my skin and its needs. I love that the facials are effective while also being accessible enough to be a monthly ritual rather than a yearly splurge. This is why the Sauna membership is so great. I'm honored to be able to provide our audience with a promo code. Use the code THENOGLOW for $25 off of your first facial when booking at saunaskinstudio.com and additional incentives if you book a membership. I have absolutely loved my skin healing journey.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
With Sauna Skin Studio.
I think there's a lot of play here. I think there's also like a sense of fulfillment that comes from being of service, right? Like, 100%. Like you feel full, like it is filling.
At the end of the day, what I'm really learning here is like, remember in other podcasts where we talked about we're co-creating with God's source universe, and God's source universe has placed these desires in our heart for us to bring to life.
Yeah.
And God's source universe has placed this desire in my heart for me to be of service in this way.
Yeah.
And I haven't been living in integrity of fully embodying that and operating from that place and owning that because survival mode has been taken over. But like the more I step into this frequency and this energy of that, I'm living my purpose. I'm living my divine assignment that was placed in me for me to live in this lifetime.
And then everything falls into place.
And then law of compensation.
Yes.
Which is like law of attraction, but law of compensation says like you will be compensated when you act in service in your divine assignment, living your truth in integrity for what you've been placed here to do.
Absolutely.
And it's like I've been trying to do this, but couldn't do this. And
I hear that.
And now I'm not fully there, but I'm every day I am a little bit more.
Well,
there.
That's a lesson. That's a lesson in and of itself. Like for the people that are listening to this, it's like, how do you get more in line with your purpose and what you're doing? And like, there's going to be people that are listening that are like, well, I don't really love the job that I'm doing. Well, how can you thrive in your job by being more of service in that role, right?
Or like maybe that is not the job that you're supposed to do ultimately. It doesn't mean you have to quit it tomorrow, but like start tuning into what is here in your heart. What is your divine assignment? What has been placed in you by God's source universe for you to actualize in this lifetime and start inching your way towards that?
Yeah.
Eventually, maybe you'll be able to leave that job and fully step into service.
Right.
Or how can you incorporate service into the job that you're already doing?
Exactly.
I had a client once who had a job that she didn't fully love, and she wasn't fully ready to leave that job and step into like being
starting
of service,
a new business or like start having an entrepreneurial business.
Yeah, she was into spirituality and kind of like, you know, coaching and service in that way. And so she had this epiphany where she was like, I'm going to start bringing that into my workspace.
Absolutely.
And they started giving her these positions to like lead meditations at her job. And she's like, this is so cool. Like I brought it here. You know what I mean?
Right. You know, back when I started this show, I was like, you know that I struggled a lot with like, who am I to have this platform?
Who am I?
Right. Who am I? And there were a lot of messages coming at me mm-hmm. from the outside of like, who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think
but
you are?
Also matching your belief system.
Right. So mm-hmm. like the outside messages that I was receiving, they were matching something were that mirror. I already kind of like believed about myself. Like, who am I to have this?
It was a reflection of your inner world.
And everything. So everything was reflecting it, right? Mm-hmm. Like everything. So it like took a lot of courage for me to actually step into this place and believe that like, okay, maybe I sound stupid. Maybe I'm not like, maybe what I'm saying isn't landing, but I believe that I am helping one person, like I've got to be helping one person, which has now morphed into, as you know, like me starting this like digital women's community. You know, like I have a goal of having 10,000 women in this group, right? I have like 11 women in this group, right? And we talked about how like I was hosting these free webinars and that's amazing. And like getting people to like come in organically, which is really, really wonderful. And like giving them exposure to what it is that I am hoping to accomplish with this community. But it's hard, right? Because like I'm used to, for example, like on Instagram, I'm so used to having a certain level of engagement, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'm starting this new thing, right? And just like I did with this podcast, like, so my podcast numbers when I started weren't as high as like my Instagram engagement numbers, right? Now they are starting to get high, right? So now I'm like, okay, let me start this new thing where I can be of more service, right? Like a deeper service where this podcast is great and anybody can access it. How do I be a deeper service to people who are like really committed to doing the inside work and like the way that you connect with your clients,
yeah,
right?
We hold space for the people like individually, like having the conversations with them.
But then I'm starting that and I'm like, oh, but the numbers aren't there. The numbers aren't there. The numbers aren't there. The numbers aren't there. I have to consistently like check my ego at the door and be like, drop into service because ultimately you are here to serve these people.
And I love that you said that because the ego
really
like
with you
gets in the way
of
you operating from service. The ego, survival mode, which I feel like my survival mode is my ego.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Either way, they work in cahoots together to keep me from being in service. And like, You said, right, like people listening to this, how, if they're resonating, like how do you go from survival mode to thrive mode or from survival mode?
How do you do it?
To service. It's like as often as possible, remembering that service is the way and choosing it over and over. And when your ego gets in the way, when survival mode gets in the way, you say, I see you, thank you, but I'm going to choose service. I see you, thank you. I know. I hear you. You've been here my whole life. And I'm going to go this way instead. And I'm going to just choose it over and over. And it's coming back to it over and over and over and over and over again.
So there are people, obviously, like coaches like you or me, if I have an online women's group or I have this podcast, or like therapists and doctors that are living in their service of helping and healing people, you know, that is what they are committed to. Mm-hmm. Right. And they are healing people. They are serving people. Like for me, it happened in a really, these people, we are being compensated in some way, right? Like the law of compensation, mm-hmm. right? This has directly worked in my life during that year that I told you, like the year of hell for me, because it wasn't like I was going out and doing service for a reward. I was serving to survive. And it's literally what kept me alive. Like it's what keeps me from not going back into drinking alcohol. Mm-hmm. It's what keeps me to be strong in front of my children when I have a kid losing his hair going through chemo, mm-hmm. right? Was being of service. And that wasn't something that I was monetizing on. My benefits, like the law of compensation, came after. in the way that I am free now, like in the, like the respect that I have for my life and for the hardships and for the resilience that I've built and I see in other people building every day when they're going through tough shit. Like, talk about being in survival. We talk about like being in financial survival, emotional survival, and all these things. Like, what about the real life survival shit? Like, when you actually are having to survive the real life fucked up stuff, right? You still lean into service because that is the antidote to the pain and suffering.
Yeah. And something you said was like, compensation is not only like monetary compensation.
100%.
It's like, I'm being compensated
energetically,
with joy,
joy,
with pleasure, with peace, with connection, with like relationships like that are making their way into my life that are like pouring into me in ways that I've never been poured into before. And I'm like, I'm being compensated because I'm stepping into this energy and stepping away from survival mode.
Well, something that I also keep coming back to is like, if I build it, they will come. Like if I build it, they will come, right? Like if I build this place of service, there will be people to serve. That's how churches exist. You have to build the church. You have to build the space and the people will come so that you can serve them.
And we talked about this the other day on the phone, but like, it's easy to say that and it's easy to start there, right? That's where I started with my coaching business. Like, oh, I'm going to help people. If I post the flyer, like they will come. And they did until it's like, then they stop coming or they don't come as often or like, you know, one came and it's like, okay, how do I get more to come? Same for you. Like, oh, I have 11 people. Like, not enough, not enough. It reminds me of the conversation we had the other day when you were telling me on the phone, like, oh, only 11 people have signed up. And I'm like, you need to keep showing up and telling the people like that you built it. It's not just, it's one thing to build it and they will come, but like build it and like promote it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like how I said, Starbucks is not afraid to sell us the same cup of coffee every single day. Target is not afraid to email you and tell you that there's 25% off in the home section. Like
when they're selling the same shit.
We can build it, but we have to show up and like preach our shit and sell our shit and let the people know that our shop is open
for service.
For service. Like, ugh.
What a thought.
And that's where people I think fail is like they get in their egos because they're like, I want to be of service. I have this amazing idea. Like it feels like a divine assignment. It feels so aligned. This is it. And they show up and they talk about it one time and like 100 people don't flock to it. And they're like, ego shows up and they're like, you're not good enough. People don't care. This isn't good. It's not working. And it's like time, consistency, like show up and sell your shit like Starbucks sells a fucking cup of coffee.
So, you know, I've been doing these Ask Me Anything things, which are new again because like I didn't trust the public for a long time. They were in timeout. The public, I put y'all in timeout.
I mean,
rightfully so. They like made their own bed, like whatever. Maybe not that many people want to know, but I have a feeling people want to know the stuff.
Yeah, they have no filter, so.
Right. So they were in timeout for a while. Now I'm like in a place where I can like better navigate their craziness. But I started doing these Ask Me Anything blurbs on my Instagram lately. And one of the questions was like, what advice do you have for somebody who wants to start a podcast? And something that I heard on Tim Ferriss's podcast was that there's a graveyard of podcasts that have 5 to 20 episodes. Right? Because people think they have something to talk about and they're like, oh, it would be fun to have a podcast. Having a podcast is not like...
for the faint of heart.
It's not. You have to be willing to show up over and over and over again and serve in your language. Whether that's, I don't care if you have an entertaining murder mystery podcast, you know, like what is the purpose of that? To entertain people through telling the stories of murder mysteries. Like maybe it's Alex Cooper, who is doing her shit, her big shit with Call Her Daddy, you know, like, but ultimately like having a podcast is being of service. So like my advice to people who are trying to start podcasts, and this could be like with literally any industry, is like knowing like there is a graveyard of people who start businesses and that they fail within a certain amount of time because they don't just trust the process and continue to do it out of a service. They need they want the listeners. I mean, if I quit because you know how many listeners I had tune into my first episode, and the metric was every 2 weeks. We measured at the time every 2 weeks. I had maybe 110 people listen to my episode, right? Within 2 weeks. That is not a lot. Like, but it's, guess what? It's more than the person who has zero podcast episodes, right? And over time and the dedication of it, like my listenership is like through the roof now. Like, but because I come here and my attitude with having these podcasts is about like, how do I serve the person who is listening to it? right? And truly believing that something I say or you say or whoever it is that I'm hosting is going to say something that's going to hit with people.
Yeah. And for the people that have the graveyard podcast,
right?
And like, no offense to them. Like, I have a lot of graveyard things that I started and my ego got in the way and then I felt not good enough and I didn't continue doing it. But it's like, that's where you have to come back to, why am I doing this? Am I doing this for the likes and the views and the follows, or am I doing this to help people? Because right now where I'm operating from is for the likes and the views and the follows, because I'm caring about that and I'm wanting to quit because that's not happening.
Yeah.
So I'm not in integrity with my divine assignment. I'm not in integrity with my service. So come back.
I think like something that's a really good example of this is, and we've talked about this on the phone before, is like how you've transitioned from being a professional dancer into this coaching space, right? Mm-hmm. Because like, let's face it, like when you were posting your dance outfits with your booty hanging out and you shaking your shit, people liked it, right?
Don't get me wrong. Like, I was,
and you'll still do it, right? That's cool. But when you're like transitioning, it's like, and we've talked about it too. It's like, how many likes did I get when I posted old pictures of my family? Everybody loved that shit.
Yeah.
You know?
To this day, if I post my ass or I post myself dancing, thousands of views. If I post a quote, an affirmation, like 10.
Or like, how many people stopped following me? Like,
I know. Hundreds of followers on the daily.
But I would rather have fewer followers that are with me and invested in the message than like hundreds of thousands or millions of followers that are curious looky-loos who are not invested, right? Because ultimately, like, I'm serving those people.
Well, also, your divine assignment, right? You being of service is to help the people who are also assigned to you in this lifetime for you to help them. So like, if I'm losing followers, it's like, okay, we were in alignment before when I was posting my ass. And like, now that I'm of service, we're not no longer in alignment.
And that's so okay.
Like, I don't need you to be here then.
And that's okay. Right.
Because there's a plan here.
Right.
Everybody's matched to each other and we're no longer a match. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because that makes space for the people who are and the people that I am meant to serve.
So if you have a piece of advice for people who are like, how can I actually drop into service and whatever? Because like, not everybody's an entrepreneur like in this space. Like, not everybody's starting their own coaching business or hosting a podcast. And people have like your standard jobs, right?
Yeah.
Teachers, whatever, like all kinds of jobs. Mm-hmm. How can you encourage people to step into more role of service rather than survival? Like, what is your tip or feedback on that?
Well, I think it starts with the knowing, like we said, that God, Source, Universe has placed desires in your heart, specifically your heart, for you to have and for you to manifest and actualize and bring to life in this lifetime. My desires that were placed in my heart are unique to me and different from yours. Even if we have the same
something similar
general desire, the way I'm meant to bring it to life is going to be unique to me, and the way you're meant to bring it to life is going to be unique to you. It's your divine assignment, my divine assignment, and you all have your own divine assignment. So it's the knowing of that is like number one, knowing that that exists and that is a thing. Then it's like actively choosing to tune into that, right? For me, that looks like meditation. And specifically, it's like a specific type of meditation where I'm literally placing my hands on my heart. And sometimes I even rub it in a circle to like activate what's here, like the desires that are here, the service, the divine assignment that's here. And I'll close my eyes and I'll just like tune in and I'll be like, show me what is meant for me. Show me the service that you want me to live out and that I want to live out and that feels so in alignment for me and that is going to feel so fulfilling that maybe I can't see and I'm not aware of. Like, show that to me. And that doesn't mean that answer is going to be revealed in that moment, but it's like this, I tune into that as often as possible, as often as necessary. And even different phases of my life, like right now where I'm like getting out of survival mode, right? I can listen. I can hear it louder, you know? So, and it's like my business has done what it's done up until this point, but like, what's the next level of my business? What's the next offer that I have that really aligns me to be of service, right? And I'm in a process of tuning in every day, like, what's here? What do you want me to do? What do I want to do? What are we co-creating together? That's like, who are my people and how do I reach them?
Yeah.
You know? And it's just like taking time to tune into that and like not rushing the process of letting those answers come to you.
I think a lot of us are, I think we don't realize it, but I think that every career that is we are all service providers, mm-hmm. right? Like, so we have our friend Aram here who is helping us with our videography, but like ultimately, mm-hmm. like he's providing a service, mm-hmm. right? He's a service provider, teachers are a service provider. Like the people who, the maintenance people, they're service providers. Like people who collect our garbage, they're service providers, you know? Like mm-hmm. how does anybody in their role like drop into being of service, and that connection between like dropping into service and the law of compensation, it's like foolproof. It connects. It just connects.
It's the equation. It's E equals
MC. It is the equation.
E equals MC squared.
Yes.
Period.
Absolutely. So I think that's what we should leave people with, is like dropping into your like sense of service over survival.
I want to say one more thing.
Say one more thing.
I think a lot of people think they're living in service, or think they're doing the thing that they love and want to do, and are not fully tuned into like their divine desire, their divine purpose. And like, because maybe there are some people that are like, oh, I'm doing what I love, but like don't feel super fulfilled. It's like, are you doing what you've always loved and have always been good at and think this is what you love? You know, because like for a long time, dance was just my default talent, and yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, right.
But was I being of service? Sure, maybe like there are people that were being inspired by me dancing, but I didn't feel like ultimately divinely fulfilled, and like I was really helping people and being of service in the way that I am now, you know?
Or the way you want to be.
In the way I
like,
want to be.
Because like you're allowed to want it in different ways.
Totally, and like that was my purpose and that was my service then, but like it looks different now. And so it's like, don't be afraid for your service
To change. Yeah. I think we said that in one of our previous episodes, is like, I reserve the right to change my mind.
Yeah. I think she knocked.
Oh, come in. Entra.
I could be wrong though.
No? Let's see. Maybe Ruby will say hi to us.
Ruby
girl. Hi, cutie mama.
Hi, mamas. Hey. Hi, Ruby.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Say hi, everybody. Say hi. Hello.
Hi.
Ruby girl.
Hi.
Hey girl. Hi, mama.
How are you eating?
Hi.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy. You should have seen her when she saw me. She was like, yes, Ruby. Mama's here.
Ruby,
tírame
un besito.
Un besito.
Un besito. Un besito.
Oh, you smell like food, Ruby. Yeah?
Oh, she has. Well, she wants mama.
It's service time. It's service time.
Aww.
Oh, we love a hug. We love a hug. We love, we love sweeties. Is it so cute? Is she being so cute?
Yes.
Yeah. And Rosie's here. Come on, Rosie.
Come on, Rosie.
All right.
Hey.
Well, this is me dropping deep into my service for the rest of the day. I think that I have reached my time limit.
And I'm going to be of service to Rosie for the rest of the day.
Yay.
Right, Rosie girl?
Hi, mamita.
Right.
Yeah, she's a mother. She's a mommy.
Rosie has something to say.
A mommy.
What do you want to say to people? Huh?
Everybody say bye.
Bye.
Bye. Ruby say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ruby say bye-bye.
Mwah.
Bye-bye.
Mwah. Bye.
Mwah. Mwah. So cute.
Cutie girl.
This podcast was brought to you by Sana Skin Studio. Be sure to use my code, THENOGLOW, for $25 off of your first facial at Sana when booking via sanaskinstudio.com. More than a skin studio, Sana is a movement towards healthier skin and self-love.
Thank you so much for listening to The Know. If you loved this episode, go ahead and share it with a friend. Words are so powerful, and someone may need to hear what we cover today. And if you really loved this episode, please take a moment to rate the show and leave a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect on The Know. You can connect with me personally via Instagram at Nikki Sapp Spo and The Know with Nikki Spo. My hope for you today is that you are fearless in looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
I'm I'm not going to lie, you're slacking. You're slacking on starting that business you've been holding off on. It's just living in your head. And if you don't act now, that idea is going to leave, or maybe someone's going to take that idea. And there's a tool that I personally use, and that is Shopify. You don't need to be a web designer. You can just start moving, zooming in, adding the text you need, adding pictures you need. And Shopify has so many templates you can use from. Get it out of your head and onto a website with Shopify. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sell. They make it easy to manage growing your business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on all the important stuff like growing your business. With Shopify, your first sell is closer than you think. Established in 2025 has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/sonoro, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/sonoro to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/sonoro.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.